After the Blessed Sacrament and the Sacred Heart, the last of our summer devotional feasts, which honor the great love of God, which is seen all too quickly in the beautiful days of Holy Week, is the Feast of the Most Precious Blood. It falls on the first day of July and claims all of this month for its major devotion and for our grateful meditation, the price of man's redemption. This date, July 1st, for the feast, commemorates an event that happened in 1849, the deliverance of the common father of Christendom, the Pope, Pius IX, from the forces of a Masonic revolution and his restoration to Rome. You can see why this is a feast, even whose history should interest us. In gratitude, the Holy Father began this feast, which is so rich in all of these wonderful scriptural texts, to remind us of our Lord's precious blood. When this Mass is read at Easter time, at the Alleluia verse, the Church prays the words of God from Exodus in the Old Testament. I shall see the blood and pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The Jewish Passover generally falls about the time of our Holy Week, and each year, then, in the news, you can see some story or another about Catholic school children studying or even staging a Seder meal, or Christians, concerned citizens, going off to the synagogue, the men with their heads all properly covered with a little kippah or yarmulke, and then the rabbi reenacts for them their Passover meal for the benefit of the goyim. It is a curious thing. A Catholic writer observed this recently. You never read about Jews reenacting Catholic ceremonies for Holy Week. Why do you suppose that is? For example, that students at a yeshiva would be studying Tenebrae, or that Jews would come to a church for the Mass of the Presanctified. And there is a reason for that. This ecumenism is one way. It is meant to draw Christians closer into the Jewish world view. And in this, they have been very successful. If they did say, if some Jews were to come to Holy Week services, perhaps the scriptures that are read or sung might be familiar to them, although they say that most Jews do not know the Old Testament. And I hope it is not true that most Catholics today do not know their scriptures. At least, surely, our children are learning their Bible history, so that they would know the all-important 12th chapter of Exodus, verse 1 through 11, in which God commands his people in Egypt to slay the Paschal lamb and then to put the blood over the doorposts of their home. And in eating the lamb and obeying God, the eldest son, the firstborn, will be spared. Whereas in the houses that are not marked with the lamb's blood, you see the relationship with the New Testament, why then the avenging angel comes and death visits that home. You have to know this story to understand the Last Supper and the first holy sacrifice of the Mass and today's devotion to the precious blood. The promised protection of old, in a sense, is seen still today to deliver us and everybody inside the home from some terrible plague. Our Lord asks simply that an image of his heart, pierced and bleeding, be exposed and honored in our homes. And he promises that he will reunite families. He will take care of your necessities. And he will give peace to your family. But note that the Sacred Heart wants his image to be set up and honored in public, in your home, where it may be seen. Already in the story, already rather in the last century, religion tended to be a story only for church or for the back bedroom. It was a sign of the times, you know, that idea that religion is a private matter between me and my God, a few prayers whispered at night, the exclusion of Christ the King from his public and social role in the lives of men. Do you know the story of this miraculous picture of the Mother of Perpetual Help? Our Lady was taken to Rome, and she ended up in some Roman lady's bedroom. And Our Lady would have none of it. She was not at all happy. She appeared, she besought, she cajoled, she threatened that woman. And finally, it was not until death visited that home that she obeyed and the church, a church received for public veneration, this miraculous icon. If you have in your home a few holy pictures, a crucifix, the Sacred Heart, some statues, perfectly reasonable, some visitors to your home might object and say, I feel like I'm going into a church. What are you, some kind of a religious fanatic? You are supposed to feel like you're going into a church when you enter a Catholic home. Already in the 5th century, St. John Chrysostom says that the home is a domestic church. Our Lord's presence should be seen, but more, it should be felt in your family. In the 19th century, there was an anti-clerical man, a non-believer, an atheist, father of a family. He gave permission, though, for his wife to have the priest come and for the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in his home. When the priest had gone and the coast was clear, the man emerged to see what was going on. And he walked into the living room and he saw the Sacred Heart. And something impressed him. And he turned to his wife and he said, someone is in this house. I can feel it. Who did you let in? And of course, it was our Lord. And by the end of the evening, he was on his knees with his wife and his daughters praying. They say that in one family, after the enthronement was over, the Sacred Heart was on the mantelpiece with the flowers and the candles, and a little boy in the family wanted to know, he asked his dad, are we supposed to genuflect now when we pass the mantelpiece? That is a little bit the idea, though, of the enthronement. The church in the home in the church. The supernatural for us becomes natural, so that Christ may reign as King over us, one family at a time. What our Lord referred to as his heart's burning thirst to be honored by men is not meant, you see, to be restricted to private prayers or public worship in the church. He wants to be in your home and not hidden back in some bedroom either. Just as the precious blood was put on the doorpost symbolically way back in the Old Testament, so too symbolically today, the Sacred Heart must be put in a prominent place in your home. Where do your family and friends gather? Is it the kitchen? Have the Sacred Heart in the kitchen. Is it the family room? Or have the enthronement then done there so that people can see and our Lord can see, too, that he will pass over. In her act of consecration to the Sacred Heart, St. Margaret Mary says, she prays, remove far from me the thunderbolts of God's just wrath. Consider the chastisements that surround us. Don't get too comfortable in this air-conditioned world of ours. The very laws of nature are ignored or repealed. People, powerful people, I mean, fiddle with money. Many manipulators formulate government policy, not only here, but on an international level. And these policies hit a natural family with many children, all the children God gave them, very hard and on purpose. They try to reduce the family to a puppet of the state. In communist China, you only allowed one child, and after that, abortions are obligatory. But God says that the state should serve and facilitate the family. Children are educated to be consumers today. What are they meant to consume? Why, of course, the goods produced in communist China. And when we're not consuming and buying, we are meant to play and not so much to pray anymore. The sovereignty of nations is absorbed into this artificial superstate, which is organized on a purely naturalistic basis. The church, which is the only defense of the rights of man, our true liberty, enabling us to do what is right by God and right by our neighbor. The church is eclipsed, and its place is taken by some modern artificial super religion in which everybody has a role. The latest news from the modernist church is that in China, the underground church, which has valiantly persevered for so long, since 1950, must now join with the communist church. And next week, you will see, probably, that the news will be that the Latin Mass people have to join up with the laid-back Novus Ordo, traditionalists and trendies under the same roof, one big dysfunctional family. Father Mateo, a bit of a prophet himself, said already back in the 1920s, we're on the brink of an abyss of social corruption. The home is already undermined in its foundation by this upheaval of immorality. The best of the rest, the most Christian, are seriously affected by a contagion of unbridled sensuality. That's sort of a very polite way of saying sins against purity in the way we dress and speak and entertain ourselves and think and act are found even amongst the best Christians today. And that is the truth. Sadder still, says Father Mateo, the enemy has gotten right into our own ranks. The wolf, with unheard of cruelty, is in the sheepfold. And meanwhile, he's tolerated there and even encouraged by the cowardice of Catholics. Satan, he concludes, Satan and the world have struck and scourged their God. He is scourged even unto blood. Now, that being the case, how on earth will we escape these plagues, the obvious plagues, AIDS and the rest? How will all of that pass us over? How to survive, we and our families, in the contrived chaos of this chastisement? Our Lord told St. Margaret Mary, what are you afraid of? I shall reign in spite of Satan and all opposition. How? This is the good part. By means of little people, the poor and the contemptible, St. Margaret Mary says. So that our Lord finishes, none of it can be attributed to human potential. It's something supernatural. Our Lady says, scattering the proud in the conceit of their hearts, but we shall stay humble and safe in her Immaculate Heart. We, who are we? We're not much. We're pretty unimportant. What are we? 1% of 1% maybe? Nothing at all. Rulers and kings, countries, the conciliar church, all have resisted Christ's rites. They couldn't find a better way to express it than the words of the Jews. We will not have this man reign over us. What's left? One writer expresses it, the only unit of temporal government which remains, which could be brought under the control of Christ the King, is the private home. So you see the beauty and the symbolic import of that ceremony. The father, the head of the family, presuming he is the head of the family, the father, along with his family, in the presence of the spiritual father, the priest, enthrones Christ to be king in that home. God has designed, as we saw last week, home as the first church. In a phrase, home before Rome. And surely it will be the last church left as well. The home over which God presides, where he is a loving father, because he's been thrown out of so many churches and schools, it is the home which will remain at the end. Now, if home is where the heart is, the Christian home is where the sacred heart is. Pretty much everything else is gone. Some avenging angel has carried it off. We have to rededicate ourselves to the blessing of the truth that remains. Our Lord foresaw this day. For many, the day has already come, where the only place where you could worship him, aside from the chapel of your own heart, is in your home. The sacred heart devotion is for these days, the latter days. The desecration of most churches, the defection of most priests, the suppression of the priesthood and the Mass and the sacraments. The angel of wrath, by the mercy of the Sacred Heart, has passed us over. But even for those, and I assure you, there are many who are not as blessed as we are, even for those who right now are under the heavy hand of God's chastisement, they have no church, and they have no Mass anymore. They can find comfort because they still have the Sacred Heart with its primacy, this devotion of your personal spiritual life. Nothing need separate you from his protecting heart. And what comes next? Next comes the home. Come what may, our Lord will still be welcome in our home. The rulers of nations have refused him and his blessings. At least let the rulers of our families submit to him. What blessings, what protection will be yours when the blood, the precious blood, is on your doorposts? That is to say, when the heart, the Sacred Heart, is enthroned within. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.